Thank you, Gabby and Sally, for that beautiful number. What a beautiful truth in that declaration. Jesus loves me, this I know. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again this morning, Lord. What a wonderful thing it is that we can at any time, a day or night, open up and hear, Lord, from you through your word. That, Lord, you have inspired every bit of it, and it has withstood the test of time. Even as man has attempted to destroy it, to dilute it and pollute it, Lord, you have kept it pure before us. And, Lord, you have preserved it for us. What a miraculous thing it is that, Lord, we hold to word that is not changed. And so, Lord, we would, as we understand your faithfulness, as we understand your immutability, Lord, that we would look into your word, Lord, with an earnest, tender heart to hear from you. And so, Lord, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to absorb. Hide your servant behind the cross, that it might be your words that are heard, your heart expressed, in your thoughts, Lord, towards your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a kind of a busy week, and I've been asked in the past, not for some time now, I guess, but in the past I'd be asked, how long do you take in preparing a message? That's a hard question to answer. I don't know that there's a time throughout the course of the week that you're really not. But I'm also aware of the fact that I am quite ignorant to God's speaking sometimes as well. The question of whether or not God speaks is really not even a question to be pondered. He clearly does. Anytime you pick up his word, he is speaking. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us, I believe, in activities throughout the course of the week. I think that God is drawing our attention, and as we look at things through a biblical lens, we can learn of him and about him through the things that take place within the week. This has been a busy week, and my sit-down actual preparation time was maybe somewhat limited, but I believe the message the Lord has laid upon my heart today is the right message. This passage here, before we get into it, I have entitled Maintaining Weakness. May sound like kind of a strange title or maybe even a strange concept. But I was thinking about what the Apostle Paul is writing here about his own personal experience with the Lord. And I was drawn to this little booklet that I've read from before. And I turned one page, and the first page I turned to is entitled Weakness. And then I turned to another page, and the title of this Puritan prayer is Need of Jesus. Let me just read this for you as we consider maintaining weakness. Lord Jesus, I am blind, but thou my light. Ignorant, but thou my wisdom. Self-willed, but thou my mind. Open my ear to grasp quickly thy Spirit's voice and delightfully run after his beckoning hand. Melt my conscience that no hardness remain. Make it alive to evil's slightest touch. When Satan approaches, may I flee to thy wounds and there cease to tremble at all alarms. Be my good shepherd and lead me into green pastures of thy word and cause me to lie down beside the rivers of its comforts. Fill me with peace that no disquieting worldly gales may ruffle the calm surface of my soul. Thy cross was upraised to be my refuge. Thy blood streamed forth to wash me clean. Thy death occurred to give me a surety. Thy name is my property to save me. By thee all heaven is poured into my heart, but it is too narrow to comprehend thy love. I was a stranger, an outcast, a slave, a rebel. But thy cross has brought me near, has softened my heart, has made me thy father's child, has admitted me to thy family, has made me joint heir with thyself. Oh, that I may love thee as thou lovest me, that I may walk worthy of thee, my Lord, that I may reflect the image of heaven's firstborn. May I always see thy beauty with the clear eye of faith and feel the power of thy Spirit in my heart, for unless he move mightily in me, no inward fire will be kindled. Just so good, the poetic thought there. The Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11, he begins chapter 11, he says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. And the situation that has arisen here in 2 Corinthians is that at this church of Corinth, other teachers had come in and they'd began to question Paul's authority as an apostle. They began to question his pedigree, if you will, and how he came to be a preacher of the Word of God. These people who had come in, Paul would go on to describe, if you look at, for example, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, and I may cut off all occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, these people had come in, and what Paul gets kind of pulled into here is they were laying out and they were boasting and they were glorying in all of their accomplishments and all the things that God had done through them. You know, it's an interesting thing, but I find that within the church, we can take moments where we are testifying and make the testifying more about us than about God. Have you ever noticed that? We're quick to talk about me within the testimony that's supposed to be about God. And so Paul kind of gets pulled into this, and he says it's his folly, and he goes on and he begins to boast a bit. Foolishness to boast, and he recognizes that, but he's making a point. He's making a point that boasting in things is evil and it goes against God. Somebody wrote it this way, our strength is his rival. Speaking of God, when we begin to think highly of ourselves, when we begin to think of ourselves as strong, that becomes a rival towards God. Our weakness is His servant. Man's need is His opportunity. Man's security is Satan's opportunity. You see, because when Paul begins to talk about it, and it maybe doesn't make sense to us at first, but he begins to talk about it in chapter 12. It's hard to understand all of this, but I believe he's talking about an own personal experience he had had 14 years prior, when whether in the body or out of the body, he had gotten a vision of the third heaven into paradise, and he had heard words, and he wasn't able to repeat them. He was told not to repeat them and all of this. And he doesn't name himself. He speaks in third person, and he says of this, he said, "I'll boast about that man, but not about myself." But then if you read on, he says, in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of that revelation, there was given unto me this thorn in the flesh." He's got it all wrong, you know. I mean, in this day and age, if somebody has a revelation, if somebody has a vision, if somebody has some kind of insight, the first thing they do, don't they, is write a book. I mean, you got to write a book, and you got to get your name, and you got to get your picture on that book, and you got to let people know, "I've had this revelation." And it becomes this glorying in ourselves. It becomes this exaltation where we put ourselves up on a pedestal. This is how God has spoken to me. 14 years. Paul had never mentioned it. When did it take place? We can chronologically put probably in Jerusalem when he went back to Jerusalem, but we really don't know anything about it because he wasn't willing to talk about it and he didn't share it. He was not going to boast in this thing. But rather, he says, what I boast in is infirmities. The hardships that God has brought me into, those things I take pleasure in, those things. I was thinking about this in light of so many different passages of Scripture and how that sometimes our thinking gets a little bit off, but the reality is that God is at work in the infirmities. God is at work in the persecutions. God is at work in the reproaches. God is at work in the distress. God is at work in the necessities. And so verse 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." He didn't want to be exalted. God didn't want him exalted. Therefore, through the abundance of the revelation, then God gave him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. You know, the Apostle Paul, if he were to write out a resume looking for a job as a pastor, I doubt whether he would ever get hired. I mean, I can't even imagine a committee, a nominating committee or an appointing committee sitting down and opening up, "Oh, here's a guy. He calls himself an apostle. Well, let's see what his credentials are." And they open it up, and there Paul is written, "Of the apostles, I'm the least. Oh, but of sinners, I'm the chiefest." You know, and somebody looking at that would look at, "Well, that's not much of a resume. We ain't going to hire this guy. He has no pedigree. He hasn't gone to this seminary, and he's never written any books that we know of," and all of this stuff, and they would certainly throw him out. Isn't that the way we work? We put people up on pedestals, and then we gauge them according to the pedestal upon which we have put them. But God doesn't work that way, and the Apostle Paul knew that, so he didn't value any things. "All of these things attain, I consider them but dung, that I might apprehend Christ." And so he begins his ministry recognizing that he is nothing save that which Christ has made him. Saul in the Old Testament, the king Saul, that God had appointed to be king, first king over Israel, is told of us that he stood head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel, and yet he saw himself as little in his own eyes. Self-exaltation throughout Scripture is a bad thing. Walking humbly with your Lord is a good thing. Now, there can be no question that the Apostle Paul had learned many things throughout his ministry. And this is an example of one thing that he has learned. And this is an example, I believe, of one thing that we need to learn. What is this affliction? I don't know. It has been said that maybe it was bad eyesight, as seems to be evident in Galatians. It is called a messenger of Satan to buffet him. We understand that there is pain and there is shame involved in it because of those two descriptions. We are reminded that in the book of Job, that Satan can do nothing other than what God will allow. And so God had allowed this. He had brought it about that he would have this pain in the flesh of whatever it was and this messenger of Satan to buffet him. That word buffet means to smack in the face. It's an interesting word. And so when this came upon the Apostle Paul, rather than throw up his arms and give up, rather than throw up his arms and say, God is not with me, he went to God and he cried out to God and he asked him to remove it from him. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times he went to God and said, take this thing away from me. Twice God didn't answer anything, apparently. And on the third time, God responded to him in word, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I hear it in our voices. I hear it when we pray. I hear it when we say things like, Lord, make me the person I'm supposed to be. I have news for you. You may be exactly the person wants you to be that he wants you to be now. You know, sometimes we try to pray ourselves out of our shortcomings. We try to pray ourselves out of our failures. We try to pray ourselves out of hardship and tribulation. You may be exactly where God wants you right now. And so on this Sunday, when we're bringing in new members into the church, sometimes we look at it and we say, oh, but I have nothing to offer. I'm not qualified. I can't this. I can't that. But the reality is you can if you understand your weakness brings about the strength of God in your life. You see, we have a tendency to think about things that they're our doing. They're not our doing. The Apostle Paul did absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God of his own. He only accomplished for the kingdom of God because God was working through him. And the only way God could work through him was when Paul understood he was weak. You see, we got this issue, and we all have it. And the issue is, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Or, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And the reality is, it's nothing about us. It's all about what God desires to do through us, and he can do all things. Therefore, Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I'm here to tell you, God can't work through you if you continue not to understand that you're weak. This last week, I had the privilege of holding a 2-month-old granddaughter. And she told me I'm her favorite grandfather. I know you're going to find that hard to believe, but she did communicate that to me. But I'm holding this little 2-month-old, and the Lord willing, next week we'll get to meet up with a 2-week-old granddaughter. And when you hold a little baby like that, you recognize how helpless we are when we come into this world. And the danger comes into the physical life when we begin to think we can of our own strength and we can't. That's when we begin to stumble and fall. You see, there's no question that we come to faith as a child. There's no question that we come to Christ as children. And there's no question that we are to mature in our Christian walk. There's no question that we're to be gaining and growing and being conformed more and more and maturing, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 as we brought in new members, maturing into the fullness of the stature of Christ. But what we also have to remember is we will always be what God has described us as being. And what God has described us as being is sheep. We are sheep. And Isaiah brought it out, and the reason Jesus came, because we are all sheep, and we have all gone astray. And Peter would build on this, and he said, but now we have been returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, and the first reference to sheep in your Bible is that Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And if you'll stop and think about it, sheep are a domesticated animal. Not that they have been domesticated, but that God created them to be a domesticated animal. And sheep need a shepherd. And sheep need a sheepfold. And sheep need to be led. And sheep need to be protected. And sheep need to be brought into pastures that are green. And sheep need to be led beside still waters. And sheep are in need. That's the point, isn't it? Sheep are in need. But the problem is, as we grow, we begin to think that we don't need. We begin to think that we can do it. And we begin to think that we are strong, that we are not weak. But the reality is, we are weak. And when we profess and understand our weakness, then we're strong. Not strong in ourselves, strong into the shepherd to whom we have cried out to. If you look, for example, Isaiah 53 and verse 6 is the reference. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one of us to our own way. And 1 Peter says, now in Christ we have been returned unto that shepherd. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 52, and there's so many references, there are a number of them in the Psalms, but I wanted to go to Isaiah 52 and read this. Isaiah 20, I must be dyslexic, 25, Isaiah 25. Here's the answer, here's the remedy, if you will, and it's throughout Scripture. But Isaiah 25, you know what, I'm going to start with verse 1, and our focus is in verse 4. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For Thou hast made a city a heap, and a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear Thee. Why? For Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against a wall. In our infirmities, in our weakness, in our reproaches, in our disgrace and our dishonor, in our necessities, in our need, in our persecution to be driven away, in our distress to be under pressure, the call on us is to cry out unto the Lord. The call on us is to cry out, and then we will find that He is strength to the poor. He is strength to the needy. He is a refuge in a storm. He is a shadow from the heat. And when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall, you will find strength to stand in Christ Jesus alone. Only in moments of insufficiency will we find the sufficiency of Christ. Only when we are perplexed, only when we are distressed, only then will we understand fully the strength of the Lord. To maintain the thought, I am a sheep in need of a shepherd, is to maintain weakness and His strength. We need the Lord. I was thinking about how ignorant I am of God speaking, how ignorant at times I am, and I think that I can walk it and I can do it myself, and how thankful I am when God puts a and buffets me, you know, kind of puts me in my place, stops me, and says, listen, you're not capable. Without me, you are not capable. Quit thinking you can do this on your own, for you cannot. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Heavenly Father, we thank You for your word. It doesn't build us up with a sense of arrogance about ourselves. But rather, Lord, when we read through your word, we recognize so clearly how much we need you. Lord, I think about in my own life how many times I set out to do something, to participate in something, and I don't think to ask you or to consider you or to call upon you. That's an arrogance within me that says I can, when the reality is without you, I can't. I think of the church, Lord, and I think about how many times I've been in situations where a service is not preceded with prayer, where those who are going to be teaching don't begin with prayer, where maybe, Lord, those who are going to be leading in worship and in singing and in praise don't begin with prayer. A prayer, Lord, of recognizing that we are weak and you are strong. A prayer, Lord, that recognizes if you are not in it, then there's no point in it. I think about, Lord, throughout the course of the day, how we make plans as sheep going our own way, rather than, Lord, keeping united with the shepherd who provides us all the things that we need. And so, Lord, I would today that as we mature and as we grow, we would continue to understand that we will always be weak and in need of you, and that your grace is sufficient for the day, and that we must live according to it. And so, Lord, teach us, grow us, help us to understand, Lord, our deep, deep, deep need of you. And Lord, as you teach us through the infirmities and the distresses and these things that come upon us, Lord, may we cry out to you in our distress as you hear our prayers then. We pray these things today in Jesus' precious name. Amen.